The Way of the Wise Art, Level 3, The Mysteries of the Order of Melchizedek, being given by John Rawson in Victoria, Australia. Module 1, Growing the Tree. Welcome again to the Way of the Wise Art. In the exercises for the previous module, we left you with the question, what does it mean to you to be a priest? I hope you found your own answers illuminating. Today, we are going to look at one of the reasons for the very existence of the Order of Melchizedek. What force makes a tree grow? This is the question we shall address in Module 1. Our poem reminds us that this force, the wizard, that is the priest, too, must know. In Level 2 of the wizard, we were reminded that the word tree has several layers of meaning. We have become familiar with the tree of life, and you would have a laminated copy of the tree from Level 2. This representation of the tree as an abstract geometrical figure is not the only way the tree is depicted. If you look at the central figure of the image page, you will discover that the alchemical picture of a tree has been replaced by a figure of a bearded man who contains within him each of the Sephiroth of the Tree of Life. This figure is known in the Kabbalah as Adam Kadmon, which means original man. In Module 0, we watched the creation of this original man through three epochs of spiritual evolution. We observed the creation of the physical body, the etheric body, and the astral body as we entered, respectively, the doorways of the shadowed sun, the radiant sun, and most recently, the moon. Now, it is time to enter the final archway, the fourth, so we can observe something of the evolution of humanity in this fourth epoch of the creation. We enter the doorway, which bears the sign of the shadowed moon. Once again, everything is dark. Gradually, we hear, as though from a vast distance, something like an enormous choir singing. Slowly, spiritual beings like stars come into view. They are singing the next stage of evolution into existence. We are reminded of the passage in the book of Job where the morning stars sang in glory. In the center of the beings, a dark mass comes into existence. Gradually, the mass compacts. With an enormous shout, a spear of light penetrates the darkness. With the entry of this light, an immediate separation takes place. You can see a representation of this separation in the symbol in the upper right-hand corner of the image page. These 10 concentric circles are actually the oldest form of the Tree of Life. The outermost circle is the Sephirah Kether, the crown. The next circle is Chochmah, then Bina, and so on until we reach Malkuth in the very centre. We could say that Melchizedek is the metaphorical agent who threw the spear, just as the image in the top right-hand corner of the zero page shows him readying to strike open the egg with a sword. If you now look carefully at the bearded king in the centre of the page, you will see some Hebrew words inscribed just above the position of Kether. They read, Ein Sof. This is the consciousness of the Godhead which preceded the creation of the spiritual spheres. The creator of the image has translated this as the endless, which is another way of saying the first and the last. In other words, this represents the consciousness of Melchizedek. The spiritual consciousness, which we have called Melchizedek, now enters into the highest sphere of consciousness, the Sephira of Kether. Kether is the realm of unfathomable peace, so Melchizedek is the king of peace. You may remember that Christ is called the Prince of Peace, which tells us that he also comes from this sphere of consciousness originally. We shall discover more of the relationship between Christ and Melchizedek in later modules. As we continue watching the unfolding of events with spiritual vision, then the concentric circles which form the original tree of life begin to place themselves in a hierarchy. This hierarchy is Adam Kadmon, the original Adam. In the book of Genesis, we read that the Elohim created man in their own image. Male and female he created them. That is in the traditional translation. The writer is telling us that the archetypal pattern of humanity was created in the image of the divine. The original Adam is not a physical being at all, but a pattern for the spiritual consciousness of humanity. This means that as human beings, we contain all the Sephiroth that make up Adam Kadmon from Kether down to Malkuth. As the form of Adam Kadmon comes into being, light streams from Kether into each Sephiroth in order, from Kether to Chochmah to Bina and so on down the tree. This light contains hosts of spiritual beings, and it also contains the scintillating points of human souls, each sparkling with the gift of the seed of the Godhead, the gift given for this period of evolution. Let us return through the door for a while and contemplate what we have seen. We have perceived the very beginning of the earth period. We have observed the very energies of evolution at work. It is this energy represented by our initial question, what force makes a tree grow? As priests, we need to know that there is a foundation energy at work within the world. We could call this energy by many names: light, consciousness, growth, or evolution. what it means to be a priest of the order of Melchizedek is that our soul has become aligned with this force to such an extent that the powers of consciousness can work through us to change the level of consciousness in the whole of humanity. There is something else to be considered. You will remember that the symbol over the door to the fourth period, the evolution of our earth, is a shadowed moon. This symbol tells us that creation has a shadow side. There was a previous creation. Let us walk again through the doorway of earth evolution, the arch of the shadowed moon. This time we shall see the first creation, the shadow creation. As before, the spiritual powers begin to sing the creation of humanity into existence. As before, there is a sensation of something gathering in the centre of the starry powers. As before, the spear of light penetrates into the darkness. The Sephiroth of the tree spring into existence and begin to separate into the form of Adam Kadmon. The light flows into Kether, and then into Hokmah and Bina. As it flows onto the lower Sephiroth, however, the intensity of the light is too much for them. They are unable to contain the light, and like fragile glass containers, they shatter. The light tries to flow back up into Kether, the Sephiroth darken. The words of St. John echo in our ears. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not apprehend it. We return through the door of the shadowed moon. The ancient Kabbalists, who saw deeply into the mysteries of the creation, called this the breaking of the vessels. This breaking of the vessels had two important consequences. In the first place, the spiritual beings who were descending from the highest Sephiroth were caught in the breakage, and although most managed to return, some did not. The Sephiroth which broke became empty shells. The Kabbalah calls them kelipot. After the withdrawal of the light, even the highest Sephiroth darkened and broke. The 10 broken shells, the 10 kelipot, also made a tree of consciousness. We could call it a shadow tree, and the Adam which corresponded to that, the shadow Adam. We have already met the shadow tree in module 1 of level 2. It also stood in the primeval state the Bible calls the Garden of Eden. Here it is named the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The second result of the breaking of the vessels was the creation of physical matter. It is a profound truth that humanity was never meant to enter into physical incarnation. The entry into matter is a result of the interaction between the forces of the tree of life and those of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Once the forces of the shadow tree entered into the human psyche, we began to be drawn into the world of physicality. When I first came to Reverend Mario's centre many years ago, he gave a series of lectures called introduction to the occult mysteries. He began by going to the blackboard and writing up one simple, profound statement. God makes mistakes! Exclamation. At the time, this bold statement ran so counter to my previous understandings of God that I spent the next few days in a state of shock. But this, of course, was precisely what Mario had intended. It is part of human nature to redesign the divine in the image of our own humanity. Over millennia, the impression developed that God was something like an exalted father figure. He watched over his human children and rewarded them or punished as he saw fit. Theologians informed us that God was male. Artists depicted him as an old man with a long white beard. Wars were waged in his name. Often the opposite sides in the conflict would each claim before the battles that God was on their side. Finally, scientific materialism declared God a myth and designed a universe that would function perfectly well without divine intervention. This historical understanding of God is simply a projection of our psyche. To understand God in spiritual terms, we need to understand consciousness. To the spiritual person, God is simply the highest consciousness we encounter. For many people, the highest consciousness they ever encounter is their own. For this reason, people declare themselves agnostics or atheists. Many years ago, I was asked to teach religious education at a girls' school. With some trepidation, I looked at my first class of 30 15 to 16 year olds. I explained to them we were going to study world religions, and one of the important aspects of religion was God. I asked them to raise their hands if they believed in God. Three girls put their hands in the air. They were, of course, the committed Christians. I then asked people to indicate if they didn't believe in God. Another three raised their hands. I congratulated them on having put a lot of thought into their philosophical position. "You are atheists," I explained. "Theist" meaning a God believer, and "a" meaning not. I then addressed the remainder of the class and pointed out that they were all agnostics. Gnostic coming from a word meaning to know, and "a" again meaning not. So an agnostic is someone who doesn't know, which is a very honest position also. Since the class had been so open with me, I thought I should share something with them. So I confided that actually I was an A-Kiwi. There was a moment's silence, and then some of the brightest girls worked out that this meant I didn't believe in the existence of New Zealand. There was furious argument for about 10 minutes, convincing me of the stupidity of my position. "There are photos of New Zealand." "Obviously photoshopped," I said. "I know two people who said they are New Zealanders." "Yes," I said, "sad to encounter delusions like that. They probably just don't want to admit they were born in Sydney." "New Zealand is on the map." "Yes, I know. It's all part of the conspiracy." For every proof of the existence of New Zealand my class could put up, I could find an answer. That is, until one young student said quietly, "Mr. Rawson, I know New Zealand exists." "How do you know, Zoe?" "I've been there." That was the end of argument. Once we know, once we've had the experience, there is no more debate. The existence of God is not then a matter of logic, argument, or debate. It is about experience. If you look at the central picture of Adam Kadmon, you will see that the lowest level of consciousness is placed at the very bottom of the figure between the feet. This is our earth consciousness. Even though humanity is proud of its ability to think and reason and create, the earth consciousness is only the beginning. The Kabbalists sometimes call the tree the ladder of lights, because each Sephiroth is a higher level of consciousness. If we move to the sphere of the moon, Yesod, this is the consciousness of angels. This is much higher than human consciousness. The degree of difference between angelic consciousness and human consciousness is the same as the degree of difference between human consciousness and animal consciousness. If we move to the next higher Sefer Ahod, we have attained the consciousness of the archangels. We could compare the degree of difference between human consciousness and the consciousness of the archangels to the degree of difference between humans and plants. We can continue further up the tree, but you can already appreciate that if we encounter any higher consciousness on the tree, we will have experienced the divine. Someone who has had such an experience is justified in labeling this higher consciousness God. But always, as we continue up the tree, there are higher and higher degrees of consciousness. Even when we reach the summit of Ketha, there lie regions which our mind is not equipped to register. These levels of consciousness represented by the Sephiroth on the Tree of Life are the spiritual hierarchy. A being at each level has a particular task. For example, beings of the angelic order assist us to feel love and warmth towards others. The archangels often function at a national or regional level. The beings of the next level, the Archai, are the spirits of time. Through their sacrifice within the human psyche, we are able to have the experience of time and so to see the results of our thoughts and actions. Higher beings work in the world of nature or with planets as a whole. When Abraham meets with Melchizedek in the Genesis account, Melchizedek is described as the priest of El Elyon, which means the Most High God. El Elyon is the expression of the divinity which resides beyond the Tree of Life, and Melchizedek is the conduit between an aspect of divinity which is so far removed from human consciousness that it needs an intermediary, that is, a priest, to communicate with the hierarchy that make up the Tree of Life. The first expression of the priesthood, according to the order of Melchizedek, is, as we have said, to express the power of evolution. The priest always lives a life so that they are connecting the higher and the lower. In the top left-hand corner of the image page, you will see a cross. It is made up of two figure ones laid at right angles. The vertical one represents the force of evolution. This is also represented in the figure of the magician depicted in the bottom right-hand corner. corner of the page. You will notice that the whole body of the magician depicts the intention to connect the lower with the higher. This is the vertical function of the priesthood. The second expression of the priesthood is to be the mediator, the one who stands between divine consciousness and human consciousness. If you turn back to the figure of the cross, the horizontal figure one represents the consciousness of humanity. The priest must also be part of this consciousness. This is shown even more clearly in the magician card, where the horizontal dimensions of human consciousness are represented by the tabletop containing images of the four elements. There is a third aspect of the priest. The lemniscate placed above the head of the magician is a symbol of infinity. It is an endless loop. The priest of the order of Melchizedek is overshadowed by the infinite. Ordination gives a connection with the highest spiritual forces, but it may take many years for the consciousness of the priest to grow into a relationship with these forces. The third aspect of the priest is that they are growing. Look back at the cross again. The two arms of the cross represent two different understandings. We could call them two different intelligences. The horizontal arm of the cross represents a horizontal intelligence. This is the intelligence of the earth consciousness. Every aspect of human intelligence which expresses itself through logic, mathematics, analysis, argument, debate, social, economic, and political concern simply sits on a horizontal spectrum. The horizontal expression is a verbal expression. Even such a great genius as Einstein or Stephen Hawking is only expressing horizontal intelligence. At the centre of the horizontal arm, we find the vertical arm of the cross. Vertical intelligence is revelatory. What I mean by this is that we ascend this vertical arm through a process of revelation. Artistic creation may start us on this journey, for art can transcend words. That is why Edgar Cayce called music the bridge to the heavens. Beyond art, there are even deeper processes of revelation, and the whole of the wise art is a guided development of vertical intelligence. Eventually, the guide will depart because we now know the way for ourselves. I shall rephrase the third aspect of the priesthood by saying that the priest always strives to grow in vertical intelligence. The fourth aspect of the priesthood is also depicted in the magician card of the tarot. The priest is a magician. To be a magician is to be a transformer, and the priest is an agent of transformation within human consciousness. We shall return to this particular aspect of the priesthood in later modules. There is one last aspect of the priesthood I would like to mention in this module. The priest gives gifts of bread and wine. In order to understand the deep meaning of these gifts, I want to return to the verse of Module 1. Men walk like trees, their breath, the breeze. And seeing men like these is what the wizard sees. Man may be the dry tree, withered and sere, if fed with doubt, hate, and despair. Men walk like trees because they are the image of the original pattern, Adam Kadmon, the tree of life. The breath of the tree is the life force flowing within it. The tree of life has two components, the Sephiroth and the paths which connect them. The breath, the life force, flows from one Sephiroth to another through 22 paths. We have seen that there is a second tree, the shadow tree. This too is an archetypal pattern. Humanity has already taken fruit from this tree, so the forces of the shadow tree, the shadow Adam, also work within us. If we allow the pattern of the shadow tree to become dominant, then our spiritual centres, the Sephiroth, lose light and become empty shells. The paths become unable to connect and link forces. We become severed from our spiritual heritage. This is indeed the dry tree. We do not have to look far in our contemporary world to see many examples of members of humanity who have become hard, dry, and withered, having been fed, as the poem says, with doubt, hate, and despair. But the poem also tells us the wise art gives the living water to the thirsting roots. This living water is the gift of bread and wine originally presented by Melchizedek to Abraham. The bread is the light from the higher Sephiroth of the tree, the wine the life which flows in the paths between the Sephiroth. In the gift of bread, the soul is empowered with the higher levels of consciousness. The spiritual centres become illuminated. In the gift of wine, the connections between the centres are restored so that spiritual life and power may flow through the recipient. What flows within the tree of life is love in its multitudinate aspects. The giving of bread and wine is not necessarily literal, but the gift of the priest is always love, because only when fed with love, the tree of man gives forth its blessed fruits. This brings us to the final image on the image page, the tarot card, the Wheel of Fortune. Although there are many relevant details within the card, the meaning of the card is simple. It means movement. Movement may be either up or down. Movement upwards is evolution, movement down or backwards is devolution. Within each of us, there are evolutionary forces which image the pattern of the tree of life within us, leading to higher and higher expressions of individuality. There are also forces which image the shadow tree within us. If this becomes the dominant image within the psyche, then we lose individuality and become conduits for these other forces. These negative forces are depicted within the card by the serpent and the human figure with an animal head. We have met these forces in level 2. The serpent is, of course, Ahriman, who works within the etheric, and the figure with the animal head is Lucifer, who works within the astral. At the top of the wheel sits a sphinx holding a sword. The sphinx is a symbol of wisdom. Not human wisdom, but divine wisdom. We could say that the sphinx represents vertical intelligence, for the wisdom of the sphinx comes through initiation and revelation. We have seen a figure with a sword before. It represented the action of Melchizedek to initiate the new cycle of evolution. The sphinx then represents the work of the order of Melchizedek to lift human consciousness up the vertical axis of the cross and to open new manifestations of consciousness within the human psyche. In these first two modules, we have constantly revisited the theme of human development. In Module 0, we enter the doorways to the first three periods of evolution and observe the creation of the first three components of the human being: the physical body, the etheric body, and the astral body. These developed slowly over long, long periods of time, through the beings of the spiritual hierarchy working within us. In this module, Module 1, we entered the doorway of the shadowed moon to discover the two creations. You may have wondered why two of the epochs of evolution shown on the diagram in Module 0 were shadowed epochs. Such an epoch is where the events of a past period of evolution cast a shadow into the current period. The initial cycle of human evolution begins with what was left over, if you like, from the preceding cycles, which involved this evolution of beings which have now developed far ahead of humanity. Initially, we were comprised of what was not needed, what was left behind by these advanced beings. Human evolution then begins as a shadow of previous evolutionary periods. For this reason, the alchemists knew this time as the cycle of the shadow of the sun, or as the time of the black sun. When we come to the current period of evolution, the Earth period, there is a shadow cast by the forces at work in the previous period of evolution, the old moon period. You may recall that when we were discussing the events of this cycle of evolution, we observed a struggle between those who were guiding the development of the astral body and other beings who wished to absorb us into their own spiritual nature. At the end of the old moon period, some of these forces became part of the fabric of the astral body. It is these forces which cast a shadow into the earth cycle of evolution. In fact, it is these forces which are responsible for the breaking of the vessels in the first creation. At this time, the old destructive forces became separated out and became part of the kelopoth, the shells of the shadow tree. In this cycle of evolution, we are faced with a choice. we choose either the first tree, the shadow tree, which corresponds to the first Adam, or the second tree, the spiritual tree, which corresponds to the spiritual Adam. And St. Paul puts this very clearly when he writes, the first Adam was from the earth, a man of dust. The second Adam is from heaven. Those of dust are like the Adam of dust. Those who are of the heavens are like the Adam of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, so shall we bear the image of the man of heaven. This passage from St. Paul becomes even more relevant if we know that the second tree is the result of the sacrifice of a high spiritual being. It was only through the sacrifice of his own nature and being that the second chance of evolution could be given. The being who sacrificed himself for us and in so doing created the tree of life is the being we know as Christ. Melchizedek is the power which began the course of evolution, but Christ enabled it. Christ is the point through which the power of the new creation poured into the cosmos. He is the great mediator. He is the high priest of the order of Melchizedek. I look forward to exploring with you the wonderful depths of the workings of the order of Melchizedek and its role in the future evolution of humanity with you in the modules to come. So shall it be.